The awe it inspired in me made the awe that people talk about in respect of religious experience seem, frankly, silly beside it. I'd take the awe of understanding over the awe of ignorance any day.
The concept of stunning simplicity that he was talking about was, of course, nothing to do with me. It was Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection, the ultimate scientific consciousness raiser. Douglas, I miss you. You are my cleverest, funniest, most open-minded, wittiest, tallest, and possibly only convert. I hope this book might have made you laugh, though not as much as you made me. That scientifically savvy philosopher, Daniel Dennett, pointed out that evolution counters one of the oldest ideas we have.
The idea that it takes a big, fancy, smart thing to make a lesser thing. I call that the trickle-down theory of creation. You'll never see a spear making a spear maker. You'll never see a horseshoe making a blacksmith. You'll never see a pot making a potter.
Darwin's discovery of a workable process that does that very counterintuitive thing is what makes his contribution to human thought so revolutionary and so loaded with the power to raise consciousness. It is surprising how necessary such consciousness raising is, even in the minds of excellent scientists in fields other than biology. Fred Hoyle was a brilliant physicist and cosmologist, but his Boeing 747 misunderstanding and other mistakes in biology, such as his attempt to dismiss the fossil Archaeopteryx as a hoax, suggest that he needed to have his consciousness raised by some good exposure to the world of natural selection. At an intellectual level, I suppose he understood natural selection. But perhaps you need to be steeped in natural selection, immersed in it, swim about in it, before you can truly appreciate its power. Other sciences raise our consciousness in different ways. Fred Hoyle's own science of astronomy puts us in our place, metaphorically as well as literally, scaling down our vanity to fit the tiny stage on which we play out our lives, our speck of debris from the cosmic explosion. Geology reminds us of our brief existence, both as individuals and as a species. It raised John Ruskin's consciousness and provoked his memorable heart cry of 1851.
If only the geologists would let me alone, I could do very well. But those dreadful hammers! I hear the clink of them at the end of every cadence of the Bible verses.
Evolution does the same thing for our sense of time, not surprisingly since it works on the geological timescale. But Darwinian evolution, specifically natural selection, does something more. It shatters the illusion of design within the domain of biology and teaches us to be suspicious of any kind of design hypothesis in physics and cosmology as well. I think the physicist Leonard Susskind had this in mind when he wrote,
"I'm not an historian, but I'll venture an opinion. Modern cosmology really began with Darwin and Wallace. Unlike anyone before them, they provided explanations of our existence that completely rejected supernatural agents. Darwin and Wallace set a standard not only for the life sciences, but for cosmology as well."
Other physical scientists who are far above needing any such consciousness raising are Victor Stenger, whose book Has Science Found God? The answer is no, I strongly recommend, and Peter Atkins, whose Creation Revisited is my favourite work of scientific prose poetry. I am continually astonished by those theists who, far from having their consciousness raised in the way that I propose, seem to rejoice in natural selection as God's way of achieving his creation. They note that evolution by natural selection would be a very easy and neat way to achieve a world full of life. God wouldn't need to do anything at all. Peter Atkins, in the book just mentioned, takes this line of thought to a sensibly godless conclusion when he postulates a hypothetically lazy God who tries to get away with as little as possible in order to make a universe containing life. Atkins's lazy God is even lazier than the deist God of the 18th century Enlightenment, Deus Otiosus, literally God at leisure, unoccupied, unemployed, superfluous, useless. Step by step, Atkins succeeds in reducing the amount of work the lazy God has to do until he finally ends up doing nothing at all. He might as well not bother to exist. My memory vividly hears Woody Allen's perceptive whine.
If it turns out there is a God, I don't think he's evil. But the worst that you can say about him is that, Basically, he's an underachiever.
Irreducible complexity. It is impossible to exaggerate the magnitude of the problem that Darwin and Wallace solved. I could mention the anatomy, cellular structure, biochemistry and behaviour of literally any living organism by example. But the most striking feats of apparent design are those picked out, for obvious reasons,